Blessing.
Blessing.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 69, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord. Try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 69. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 26th chapter, the first 25 verses. Matthew 26, verses 1 through 25. But first, we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 26, verses 1 through 25. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Abbas the Pewter, who is in the hospital. Also, the sister of Mrs. Joanne Alleman is very weak at home. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-seeing, and all-knowing God, Thou who art above and we below, Thou who art exalted in Thy majesty and we fallen in our depravity, what a great gulf that we have made between us and Thee, as so that Thou who livest does look upon those who are now dead. Lord, that is a gulf which Thou hast bridged over in Thine only begotten Son. When Thou hast from the stillness of eternity made a way wherein those who are dead may live, and that we may receive a life that shall never die again. But Thou knowest each and every one of Thy own, though it is a life that lives never to die, then it is also a warfare that is fought here below, And it is a life that is so full of perplexities, of riddles, of questions, so that they must ask time and again, if it be so, why am I thus? Lord, that thou may remember each and every one of thy own true people, especially in this week that we have entered together, wherein, in the way of thy providence, it does become a week for us of preparation for thy holy supper. Lord, we are unholy, and thou art holy, and canst not look upon sin. That thou may give us an impression thereof in this day and in this week, that it may not be an insignificant matter, that it may not be a light matter, that we are called to examine ourselves before thee, thy all-seeing eye, and that we may be given of thy Holy Spirit, that we may be upright and that we may be honest with ourselves. And when it concerns the work of thy Holy Spirit, and thou knowest thy church, that they are so ready time and again to cast away and to despise the day of small things. And thou knowest the hypocrisy also of men, and then he is ready to take with two hands the bread that belongeth unto the children. And so, Lord, we stand before this our flock and our own heart, all before thy countenance, before an impossible task, to be a little help in the midst of the congregation in the way of self-examination. Lord, then we can but look upon to thee, from whom all our help must come, and who alone is the discerner of the Spirit. And thou who art able to take forth the precious from the vile, which we are not able to do, may thou give us that wisdom, may thou give us that grace and that spirit of discernment in this day and in the week to come, that we may be enabled by thy Spirit to discern in the midst of the congregation and to bring it over in a way which is clear to the mind, but in a way that may speak also to the heart of Jerusalem. And Lord, that thou thyself may go before thy word, to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and to uncover hypocrisy, and to comfort those that are that need to be comforted, to instruct the ignorant. Lord, that thou thyself may go before us, each and every one, and when that decision will be made by each and every one of us in a natural way in the week to come, to rise up or to remain in our seat. Lord, and thou knowest our accountability for this matter. Oh, then it is a serious matter, a matter of life and death in its substance, in its essence. That thou may give us then in this day a heart that may go out to thee in desires, in longings, and with a cry. That thou thyself may come, and that thou may show the way, the truth or the falsehood of it in our own life. And that thou may begin where thou hast never begun. And that thou may feed thy own church, which is made alive by thee and needs to be fed from the with the bread of life from above, and to drink of that fountain of living waters. Oh, that thou may open then also that fountain that is to be drunken from out of thine only begotten Son. Oh, that that blood may be used, and that it may be applied by thy Spirit unto the hearts of men, to wash from all iniquity, that there may be no more conscience of sins, and that thou may deliver us from all our sin, and that thou may receive us unto thyself in mercy. Lord, so go thou before us as he alone who is able. Be with all those that are afflicted and sick, he that is lying in the hospital this day, in the weakness of his body which thou knowest and has brought over him. Oh, that thou may give him a blessing upon this thy Sabbath day, that he may eat a little out of thy holy word, and that thou may strengthen him and remember all that care for him. Also the sister of her in our midst that fears for her life. Lord, that thou may look upon her in mercy and supply in the end that thou may give what is necessary not only to live but also to die and to appear before thy throne. Remember all that are about her in mercy. Lord, that thou may go before us then each and every one, also the children and the young people this day, because from time to time then we do experience all about us the truth of thy holy word, that also the young can die. And when the matter that is before us, that is that same matter that is necessary to know in order to die and to meet thee, Lord, that it then may be bound upon the hearts of young and old, and that thy Spirit may go forth in a rich measure to bless and to prosper thy word, and that it may be brought into the heart in truth, and that it may bring forth fruit some 30, 60, or 100-fold. Help us in the preaching. Strengthen us in mind and body. And give the unction of thy Holy Spirit from above. Strengthen all thy sent servants in the day that lies before them, and each Sabbath day remember them in mercy. So go thou with us, we ask it, in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance. In thy mercy answer me. Full of troubles and affliction, nigh to death my soul is brought. Helpless, like one cast forever from thy care, and from thy thought. The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
congregation next week, the Lord willing, and then the Lord's Supper will again be administered in the midst of us. And that means that the week that we have entered in this day is a week of preparation and a week of self-examination. An examination for what? In the first place, we know that a person needs to have a church rite in order to attend the Holy Supper of the Lord. That means that we need to be a confessing member in good standing in the midst of the congregation in order that everything may be done decently and in order in God's church. Thus, we ought to examine ourselves. If that is not the case, then we are of age, and that we are not a confessing member, or that we are not a member in good standing, that we need to ask ourselves why. And how that it is possible that it remains this way. In the second place, we need to examine our walk with one another in this life, how it is between myself and my neighbor, because it is not possible that we have a spiritual communion when there is not even a natural communion with one another. In a more special way, then it is necessary that we examine whether we have a church rite, a divine rite, to attend the Holy Supper of the Lord. That means that we must know something of that true life of grace, that which we have heard in the past weeks, what it is to be born again, and that we are not strangers of at least those first marks of that life of grace. Lastly, it is necessary that we examine ourselves, if it may be so, that we are not a stranger of that life, that we examine ourselves concerning the condition of that spiritual life. Because we come before a king, the king, and we may not come before the king in a careless manner. And we may not do that which is spiritual as one who is merely carnal. We come also to commemorate a death. That is always a very solemn thing, when in the midst of us, we must consider death. How much more when we will consider together the death of the Son of God. And then, not only his death, but what profit that death is for my own soul. With the help of the Lord, we wish this morning hour to consider together for this purpose of the beginning of this self-examination The words of our text, which you can find in Matthew 26, the 22nd verse, only the last words, Matthew 26, verse 22, the last part, "Lord, is it I?" So far, the words of our text. A question of self-examination before the Lord's Supper. First, who prompted this question? Second, what this question revealed? Third, what this question examined? And then after we sing, we'll close with a few words of application. A question of self-examination before the Lord's Supper. First, who prompted this question? Second, what this question revealed? Third, what this question examined? With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. How great, congregation, is the love of God for His church. With desire. Does the Lord Jesus Christ desire to eat this last Passover with His disciples? On several occasions, we can read that the Lord Jesus has warned, that He has told His disciples what was coming, that He was going up to Jerusalem, and there that He was going to have to suffer many things of the chief priests and of the scribes and the elders, and that He would be killed, and that He would rise again the third day. And now, what kind of people are these with whom the Lord Jesus has a desire that He may eat this last Passover? The Lord Jesus is here on the very eve, the very end of His suffering. That time has now come in which He has prophesied that that shepherd is going to be smitten and that the sheep are going to be scattered. The time has now come that that promise that the Lord Jesus has made already in eternity to His Father concerning what He would do for His church, that this promise was now going to be fulfilled. And what do we find of His disciples here on this earth? Then we see in the first place that they are men who are of very little understanding. That they are those who are still expecting to the very end an earthly kingdom. Thus, they do not even understand the nature of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, but just on the eve of that great suffering, when the Lord Jesus has told them what will happen to Him, and when the Lord Jesus will eat with them this last supper, then what are these disciples busy doing? We read that they are busy arguing one with another, which of them should be the greatest. And now it is of such people that the Lord Jesus says, "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you." Is that then not a wonder? To the very end of His life, here on earth, the Lord Jesus had to give instruction to His disciples, and especially in the way of humility that He has even at this last point to wash their feet, so that he may instruct them how that they must behave towards one another. And this is now that sin, along with all of the other sins, which will be forgiven by this suffering and by this death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we read in our form that we do not come unto this table to testify that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. No, when we see with whom that the Lord Jesus desired to eat this Passover, then we see the weakness that is still lying within that true church of God. And thus the examination that is not over the continual presence of sin, whether sin is present or not, but it is an examination about whether there is sorrow for that sin which remains. After the Lord Jesus will eat this Passover with his disciples, then we read that he is going to institute the Lord's Supper as a perpetual ordinance for his church. But then, first we read something else. We read that he is troubled in spirit. Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. This is not the first time that the Lord Jesus has spoken to his disciples about one of them betraying him. We read that already in John 13, where he writes, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. But it does not seem like the disciples have understood what he said, or at least that they were affected by his words. Thus the Lord Jesus now repeats himself. The Lord Jesus, as it were, presses this matter. He brings this matter closer home now to the hearts of his disciples. Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Why is it that the Lord Jesus says this? The Lord Jesus knows himself that one of them shall betray him. Is that now not sufficient? Do all of the other disciples also need to know that one of them shall betray him? Or if the Lord Jesus will say this to his disciples, why is it that the Lord Jesus does not immediately point out who this betrayer is? That is, why is it that the Lord Jesus makes his disciples so anxious about this? One of you shall betray me. Because, congregation, today, and then we hear you may not question the work of God in your life. You ought not to question your state. No, you must not doubt, because doubt is sin. That is not what we read here of the Lord Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Thus the Lord Jesus provokes something in the life of his disciples. He provokes Judas, provokes Judas to get up, to arise, and to do his evil work. But he provokes also the rest of his disciples. He provokes the rest of his disciples to what? To self-examination. One of you shall betray me. And that self-examination, that is going to reveal something. That is our second thought. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. The disciples, they are astonished. What is now the first thing that we read these disciples do? John writes this, that the disciples look one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Thus, they are not looking first to themselves, but they are looking upon one another. Why? Well, because they are not conscious of any such thing in their heart. Except, of course, for one. But the rest of them, they have never imagined such a thing in their heart. Thus, they are not conscious of such an evil, and they are not therefore looking immediately at themselves, but they are looking at one another. Who now would do this thing? And they are looking, children, all around that table. They go from one unto to the other, and they think, now, who is it who would possibly betray the Lord Jesus? Thus, they do not see anything on the faces of one another that betrays them. Peter looks at John. John looks at Peter. They cannot imagine it of one another. And Andrew looks at Thomas, and Thomas looks at Andrew. They cannot imagine it of one another. And there is no one that can imagine this of Judas. And so they go all around this table from one unto the next. Where do they end up? They end up, congregation, back at themselves. Thus, when they have considered everyone, then they cannot imagine it of anyone more than of themselves. That is now what is revealed in their question. Lord, they say, not, is it Peter? Is it John? No, Lord, is it I? Thus we say, a question of self-examination before the Lord's Supper. Lord, is it I? That is a question that is provoked by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it is a question that is revealing something in the life of these disciples. What does it show? It shows, in the first place, a certain measure of self-knowledge. That is, that they are aware of the treachery, they are aware of the deceitfulness that is lying in their own hearts. And that of all of the disciples, that they themselves are the least trustworthy. No, they had no such thought of this in their mind. But capable, yes. This they felt. They reveal a certain measure of knowledge of themselves. They reveal a certain measure of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. At least, as that great prophet, Lord, is it I? That is, that the Lord, He knows who I am. That He knows my heart better than that I know it myself. That He is the heart-searching God. Lord, is it I? What does it reveal? It reveals a desire. A desire that they may be cleared by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That they may hear it, as it were, out of His own mouth. That they are not the hypocrite. Lord, is it I? What does this reveal? This reveals the very basis, the very foundation of the difference between the true work of God and the hypocrite. Because these disciples, they are honest. They are honest in a way of self-examination. What do they want to know? They want to know the truth. And they want to know that truth, even if that truth is against them. Lord, is it I? This is what they suspect. And this is the nature of that true work of God, that a soul desires to come, as it were, before the countenance of the Lord. They desire to know the truth of the matter. Then their heart does not want to be deceived. They seek the examination of God Himself. Lord, is it I? How was that for Judas? Judas, he does not ask yet. No, the hypocrite, he shuns examination. He shuns the examination by himself of his own heart. He shuns the examination by his neighbor of his heart. He shuns the examination of God of his own heart. He comes not to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But you say, does not Judas also ask? Does not Judas say also that same thing? Lord, is it I? No. Judas does not say the same thing. Judas says something different. Judas says, Master, is it I? Thus, Judas uses a title that the other disciples do not use. Thus, Judas chooses a much higher title. He says, Great One, Great Teacher, Worthy One. Is it I? What does he do? When all the others have spoken, then Judas will try to outdo all of the others. Thus, when it comes to an outward show, then the hypocrite is superseding all of God's true people in zeal, in a pretended piety, in knowledge perhaps of the Scriptures, in faith, in steadfastness. Master, is it I? And when does Judas ask? Does not ask with the other disciples. It does not come easily out of the mouth of Judas. No, Judas needs to be forced to ask this question. It is after the Lord Jesus singles him out, at least he singled him out unto John, that Judas also asks. It is not voluntary, no, but it is out of necessity. He must ask. And what is that necessity that Judas feels to ask this question? That is because Judas has to cover himself. That he has to cover himself in the eyes of all of the other disciples. That is, congregation, the only concern of the hypocrite. To cover myself in the eyes of everyone else. Then he must do just as God's people do. And he must speak just as God's people speak. So that he looks just like they look. And so that no one is able to pick them out as that hypocrite. So he does not lose face in the midst of the whole congregation. Master, is it I? Those questions, they sound so the same. Lord, is it I? Master, is it I? But they are so different. And why are they so different? They come out of very different hearts. Very different hearts. They are asked with a different purpose. That's not seen by men. But they have a different intent. What is Judas's intent with his question? That is to cover up. To cover up. And what is the intent and the purpose of this question of the disciples? It is the opposite. It is to uncover. Thus we hear such a similar question. But in the heart, there are opposite motives, opposite purposes. And then there is no one that can examine that motive but ourselves and God. Thus we may ask ourselves, where did we do stand in this morning hour? And those disciples, they will be uncovered. And what is it that they will be uncovered to? That is what we wish to consider in our third thought, what this question examined. Lord, is it I? Then we have seen what this question revealed. Those disciples did not trust themselves. And what is it that the disciples did not trust themselves about? What is now that point in question for these disciples? What do they wish to be examined about? They want to be examined about the love for Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me? Lord, is it I? Do those disciples then feel love to the Lord Jesus? Oh, yes, they do. Yes, we read they are exceeding sorrowful. And yet, what do they not trust? They do not trust their own feelings. What are they asking? Lord, is it I? Is that love then that I feel in my heart, is that love then really true? Or is that love going to be so very short-lived? Is it just emotion? Is that a love that is going to endure for a little while, but then persecution is going to arise, and then I am going to be offended? Is that the kind of love that is dwelling in my heart? What is the answer of the Lord Jesus? Does the Lord Jesus say, my disciples, rest assured, there is the man? No. No, the Lord Jesus does not point out the hypocrite, the betrayer, immediately. The Lord is going to allow that hypocrite to show who he is in his own time. This is the Lord's way. And the Lord does not put his disciples immediately at ease. What does he say? He says, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. What had he said? He had said, one of you shall betray me. And what does he say now? He says the same thing. He does not distinguish anyone in this statement. He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish. No, he actually here repeats himself. He says it again. It is going to be one of you that is right here. It is going to be one of you that are dipping with me right here in the dish. He says that that hypocrite, this betrayer, this deceiver, my disciples, he is very, very close to me. He that eats bread with me is going to lift up his heel against me. He that dips with me in the dish, he's a man of religion. He's a man of profession. He's a man that looks to every one of you as a true man, as a genuine man. Thus the Lord Jesus does not put his disciples at ease at all. No, he will have his disciples to search themselves. So he is not saying to his disciples then to question whether or not that it is true with you that this is unbelief and unbelief is sin. No, he will have his disciples to search out once again the foundation upon which they are resting. That he says again to his disciples, as he has said so many times before, that it can come so, so very close in our life. There is but one man that the Lord Jesus sets at ease, and that is the Apostle John. The Apostle John, we know, was sitting, or as it was in those times, lying half next to the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle John, he asks quietly to the Lord Jesus, Lord, who is it? Then the Lord Jesus, he does not say to John, it is Judas. No, he gives John a sign. He says to John quietly, it is the one whom I shall hand the sop to. Thus, if John will watch for the sign, and if he is able to distinguish this sign, then John shall know. The Lord is free that he may set the one at ease and not the rest. But he will make his people to distinguish. He will make his people to discern the signs. One he gives more answers than another, and one he gives more to enter into the mysteries of the kingdom of God than another. He is sovereign. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Congregation, what a fearful thing that is written here. Satan entered into him. And when Satan enters into us, we cannot stand much longer. Not that Satan was not working already before. But now Judas is given to run headlong unto his own destruction. Judas's conscience had spoken. And Judas has stepped on his conscience over and over and over again. And now brazenly, he dips into the dish at a table with the Lord Jesus Christ. And brazenly, he says, Master, is it I? And quietly, the Lord Jesus says to him, thou hast said. And the Lord Jesus pronounces, woe, the Son of Man goeth, as it is determined of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. And what does that all do for Judas? Nothing. Nothing. Makes no impression. He is given over to the hardness of his heart. That is now what we read in the Word of God, is the judgment of the Lord also with a hypocritical partaking of that holy supper of the Lord, that a man eats and drinks damnation unto himself. What does that mean? The final judgment, that he cannot be saved? No. An immediate judgment? No. What does it mean? That more and more, when we continue in this way, that the Lord is leaving such a person to the deceitfulness of his own heart. A serious matter, congregation. And therefore, a week of preparation is a serious matter for every one of us. It is not our work to keep a hypocrite off the table of the Lord. It is not. We must warn. It is the Lord's work. But it is our responsibility, each and every one of us, in the sight of an all-knowing God. The Lord make us honest before him. Let us sing. Psalter 384. 1, 2, and 4. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1, 2, and 4 of 384. congregation, except perhaps for the Apostle John, if he has rightly discerned the sign, the disciples do not know and do not suspect Judas. Thus, the disciples, they are left still suspecting themselves. We read that they thought, because Judas had the bag, that he is given some business to do, perhaps to take care of the poor. And therefore, still that question that remains in the life of these disciples. Thus we see that it is not an assured people. It is not an assured church that the Lord desires to eat this Passover with. No, it is a church that when they hear that word hypocrite, that they become so fearful that they are tossed then upon the waves of the sea. Thus, a church that is not ignorant of a hypocrisy that is lying within them. Of course, that makes it very difficult in that week of self-examination. But what does the Lord then reveal in this portion concerning this examination? Then we see several things. First of all, he reveals the necessity of this examination. Even after we have sat at that table many times before, just as Judas. Thus, the necessity to examine our foundation. A true self-examination, the Lord Jesus shows here, is a mark in itself. This question of the disciples, Lord, is it I? Because we see how that hypocrite can ask the same or a very similar question, but he asks it not in the same way. He asks it to cover and not to uncover. This now is a point that cannot be examined by your neighbor. This is a point that can be examined by our own heart and by the Lord, who said to Judas, "Thou hast said." There is a difference in what the conscience is saying in the heart of the disciples and in the heart of Judas. Paul says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit." With whom was this true? It was not true with Judas, but it was true of the disciples. The disciples had an uprightness that was able to appeal unto God. Unto God. Have we also such? Lord, is it I? What did David say? He says, "Lord, cleanse thou me from secret faults." So we sang together what David penned, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try ye and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in that way everlasting. Oh, is that ever different in the life of that people? Oh, yes. Sometimes then they are saying with the disciples, Lord, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee in any wise. Where does it come from? It comes from the same love. The same love in the heart of those disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in that moment, then that love that desires to serve him, instead of being served by him. And this is what they must learn. They have turned completely upside down. And then sometimes in such a hard way, cursing and swearing that they do not know the man. And yet, with everything that has taken place in their life, still this uprightness that is able to appeal unto God. Oh, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Lord, is it I? Oh, you can understand, maybe even in a natural way, this people, they are a mystery unto themselves. About what? About that love unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this then a right love? Or is this love a love that is going to end in betrayal? Or is this a love that comes out of a need for him? For him who came not to be ministered unto, but who came to minister. Or is this a love that comes out of a need, that draws nigh to him as a leper, as a blind one, as a lame one, as that woman that we read who was a sinner? Or is this a love, truly a love, that may see that Son of God, even as that bride may see him, as the chiefest among 10,000, as altogether lovely? Or is this a love that comes to him with a desire as a Ruth that she may be married unto Boaz? Or that loves him, that desires him as that near kinsman redeemer? And why? Oh, and that she may receive the fulfillment of that desire that was planted already in that land of Moab. Thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. O Lord, is it I? It is a warfare. It is a struggle in the life of that people. Of what is this the fruit? This struggle. It is the fruit of the operation of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of self-knowledge, the law that is remaining in my members, the good that I would that I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. And what does this do? It is bringing into question the foundation, the foundation. Why then am I thus? But it is now this doubt that Philpot is speaking of when he says that doubt, that is the next best thing to faith. Why? Oh, because then that soul that is going out after him, oh Lord, is it I? It is crying unto him. And then that soul cannot do without hearing it from the mouth of the Lord himself. Oh Lord, wilt thou tell me? Wilt thou tell me if it is right with my soul? And now that is the very purpose that the Lord has instituted his holy supper, or that they may hear it out of his own mouth, that they may see those tokens that he has given unto them with their own eyes, that they may take them with their own hands, that they may eat them with their own mouth, and that they may believe it with their whole heart. Oh, not an examination about perfection, not an examination about holiness, not an examination about self-righteousness, or an examination about that true love. And then not a love that begins from the side of man, but a people that will say, oh, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. But congregation, if we are now strangers of this question, Lord, is it I? Then we need to warn you to remain in your seats. If our heart is not ready to hear this from the Lord, and that the Lord will judge the matter, oh, then how do we dare to approach unto that table of the Lord? With one word, the Lord is able to discover the foundation of all our religion. With one word, go, call thy husband. And then my whole life is discovered to me. Go, sell all that thou hast. Give to the poor. And come and follow me. And then the foundation that is uncovered with one word in one moment. How shall it be if that is now our case when we are standing before the judgment seat of God? And that in that place, our foundations, our false foundations are uncovered. Then we will not only go away sorrowful. No, then we shall go away from him forever and forever to be separated from him. Congregation, the Lord remember us in this week. The Lord make us honest between our own heart and himself, before that day of our death comes, and that this decision, which next week we will have to make, oh, that it may be made with a true cry in our heart, Lord, is it I? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us out of thy word. O, reveal our hypocrisies, because thou knowest what our hearts are. O, each and every one of us, of ourselves, it is a whited sepulcher. O, indeed, clean on the outside, but within full of dead men's bones. Lord, it is thy own work that needs to be revealed. Remember us. Make us honest before thee. That is thy work. And wilt thou show us the way. Forgive our many sins. Bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, remember thou also our brother elder, who hopes to speak unto the foreign workers in this afternoon. Strengthen him also for this labor, and that he may feel thy presence therein, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 417 stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. Oh, let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, and where neath thy wing I'll be supplied, and with grace thou wilt provide. 1 and 2 of 417. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.